Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, March 18th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where I open the show with my thoughts on the possible use now of remote speed cameras on some stretches of state highways that see numerous accidents and high speed. Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council Executive Director Chris Healy came back to the program to voice his organization's fears concerning a controversial homeschooling bill at the state capitol. That was a bill, too, that we heard more on from Hearst Connecticut Media senior columnist and editor Dan Haar. CBS News reporter Linda Kenyon dropped by in the 3 o'clock hour from the White House with the latest developments regarding the war in Iran.
All righty, settle down. Now, for all you folks who don't like it when cities or towns like the city of Milford most recently have kicked in with the speed cameras and the red light cameras and the stop sign cameras, if you don't like that, well, guess what? There's more coming now on the state level. Yes. And I am all for it, or at least trying it. Is it going to be perfect when it starts? No. But we've talked about this over and over again, and I'm going to continue doing it because, A, it's part of my responsibility to let you know this is happening, and, B, to tell you why it's happening. Then you can call up and say, well, I think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, by the way, what was great before sliced bread? Because you had great things, you had sliced bread, and then we say the greatest thing since sliced bread. You see where my mind goes? Interesting story here, and let's get into it at 203-333-9422-333-WICC from Hearst. Yesterday, didn't see this one, came out a little late. Connecticut, now get ready, I've already got people commenting on this. Surveillance state, hire the guy. You can't hire enough cops to do this. You can't. Because there are too many jackasses on the road, two or three of them passing me on the way here today on I-91 and I-95. State of Connecticut could test speed cameras on highways in a pilot program under a new bill. Now, again, the only spots on highways that have been done so far was a handful of spots a few years ago, primarily in construction zones. Remember, the state cracked down on that, and they said, hey, you've got to slow down through construction zones. They also did a warning test for people driving too fast in Fairfield County. And those of you like me for years who drove that stretch, I-95, north and south, between exit 16 and 17, it's crazy. It's nuts. And you're listening to a guy who likes to drive fast. Yes, I enjoy fast driving. I drive faster than I probably should. Now, knock on wood, it's the sound of my head. Knock on wood, I haven't gotten a ticket in a few years. Now watch what'll happen tonight. But apparently, Connecticut could test speed cameras on highways. The General Assembly's Transportation Committee, earlier this week, see, this is why I tell you about this stuff, because unless you're following these bills, you have no idea this stuff is happening. It's happening during the day, while you're at home, relaxing, or on the job, or luxuriating, or working, or whatever. But the General Assembly's Transportation Committee, unanimously, by the way, I don't want to hear you say today, it's just those lefty Democrats. No! 36 members on the Transportation Committee, Senate members and House members, Democrats and Republicans, among them, all of them, 35 of them voted yes. There was one either abstention or absent or not voting. One bill the committee advanced in a unanimous vote 2 days ago on Monday would allow the DOT to operate speed cameras on major highways as part of a pilot program, as long as it works with the basically with the state police, with the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protections, and they pick the locations based on a history of excessive speeding, fatal or serious crashes, or as I like to name it, the jackass factor. So apparently, I'm sorry I have to put it that way, but just what I saw this morning on the way to work, I can surmise, and I saw a few people in very expensive cars doing it. So there are jackasses behind the wheel of every economic strata, of every race, of every religion, of every color, of every nationality. Jackassery knows no bounds. Under the bill, if a camera, much like the cameras now that are up and running in places like Milford and the town of Washington and coming to more Fairfield County, New Haven County towns. Under the bill, if a camera captures a car, now, by the way, they're going to give you more leeway on the highway. You may say, yeah, Paul, it's 10 miles an hour on the highway. No, guess what? It's 10 miles an hour on a city street. Under this pilot program, they're giving you even more of a cushion to be a jackass. Under the bill, if a camera captures a car traveling 15 miles an hour or more than the speed limit, the owner gets a $75 ticket for a first violation and tickets of up to $200 for additional violations. Now, again, on the residential cameras, right, that are in cities and towns now, it's 10 miles an hour. So, for example, the moment you hit 46 in a 35, if you're over, I don't know whether it's the 10th mile an hour over or the 11th, one more. But basically, residentially, in those areas, in cities and towns, you get a 10 mile an hour cushion. Well, here on the highways, they're going to give you a 15 mile an hour cushion. So that means Connecticut generally has, most of the highways are 65. So 65 and 15, let's see, 5 and 5 is 10, put down the 0 and carry the 1. 6 and 1 is 7 is, and 1 is 8. So did I do that right? Yeah. I'm kidding. So you mean to tell me that we shouldn't mail tickets to jackasses going above 80 miles an hour? Come on. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I love this. I'm sorry, I can't deal with the morons anymore. Here I am coming in this morning, going home last night, in the right lane, in the old lady lane, in the old guy lane. Why? Do I consider myself that old? No, but I don't want to get killed. And here I am. All right, I'm a little above 75. And I'm getting blown away. It's like I'm freaking standing still. So how about it? You like it? I love this. I can't wait for this to happen. I'm serious. I'm not doing this for effect. I can't stand the amount of idiocy on the roads right now. The tailgating, the weaving in and out of traffic, sitting there. I'm doing 75 and I'm getting past at 90. Good. Take their pictures, send them the bills. You agree with me or not? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. All right, speed cameras are coming at least on an experimental basis to state highways. Now, I'm getting a lot of comments already. I'm looking at other sites. Well, just do it with troopers. There aren't enough troopers to do it. And I'm not against driving fast. I like driving fast. I've driven pretty darn fast in my lifetime. But it's not the speed that necessarily kills. It's the variance of speed. And when I'm driving here to the station on any given day, like this morning or going home last night, And I'm doing all right. I'm doing about a tick above 75. And there's somebody weaving in and out of traffic or on my rear end like a hemorrhoid. There's a visual for you. Who's flashing me, and he blows by me doing at least 80. That's it. I'm sorry. We don't have enough troopers for that. Rev up the cameras. You don't think it was fair? Go to court. I'm sorry. And by the way, I would have misgivings on this if, like, the local town and city cameras, it was going to kick in at 10 miles an hour over. According to this story in Hearst, you wouldn't get any sort of a ticket till you were 15 miles an hour or more. So what's 65 plus 15? That's 80. You don't want a ticket? Keep it under 80. Keep it under 80. Do 7. Put, you have a cruise control. Set it at 77. I'm sorry. I look, you're talking to a guy who once drove 130 miles an hour legally. But some of the morons I see out there tailgating people, I saw some guy cut off a guy. If I was doing like 72 this morning, this guy was doing 85. That guy gets a ticket. And don't say, well, the cops should just chase him. Really? Police chases now in this state with these laws? No. No, thank you, sir. Ricky in Stratford leads us off today. Ricky, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. All the best to you. So I'm listening to your topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Any cameras going to be on anywhere between Bridgeport and New Haven? Is number one question, because I've been noticing, I'm 61 years old, March 28th.
Okay.
And I've noticed tractor trailers in the left lane now.
Yeah.
I mean, would they get ticket even though they're not going fast enough? But they're not supposed to be in the fast lane.
Yeah.
And back and forth to New Haven once a day, I do see the tinted window Nissans doing 90.
Yeah. 90. Yeah. Just, yeah. 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 Ricky, they haven't said where the locations are yet. So apparently, if this bill gets a final passage and is signed by the governor, the DOT would work with the state police, and they would set them up, at least on the experimental basis, on areas where there are a lot of accidents and where they give out a lot of speeding tickets already.
Okay, I got you. I haven't seen a single car pulled over getting a ticket.
Yeah.
It's just so fast. It's like a raceway out there.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. Hey, Ricky, thanks. I appreciate the call, Ricky. Thank you. Ricky in Stratford. And yeah, and part of the reason, and Ricky mentioned this too, and other people, part of the reason is, and we've had lawmakers on this show tell us this, for years, going back to, I think, right around COVID, the state police, by statute, the Connecticut State Police Force is supposed to be about 1,200 troopers, I guess not counting desk people and other communications people. We've been understaffed by, I don't know, like 300. And the first wave that they pull those patrols from are speed patrols. So everybody's saying, well, there's got to be more speeding patrols. Well, there's, I don't know why the state police aren't fully staffed. You get a lot of finger pointing on this. But look, here's the bottom line. They haven't announced yet where these cameras are going on the highway. When they do, I will let you know. They experimented with this a couple of years ago. And I'll pull up those figures on the break here. But they experimented with this a few years ago because people were just not even touching the brake pedal through construction zones. Yes, if you're that much of a jackass, you deserve to get a ticket. You do. I mean, you can, and I see it every day coming in. People, A, they don't slow down. Through construction zones, they don't move over. So again, if this bill is passed and is signed, it passed 35-0 with one legislator not voting earlier this week. If it passes, It's going to set up a pilot program that would give you a ticket in certain areas if you're at 15 miles an hour over the limit. So you're going to tell me 80, and believe me, I like driving fast. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that. 80 miles an hour is not fast enough for you, Ace? Come on, 80? Come on. Maybe you disagree. I can't wait for this. The morons behind the wheel. Well, you're all for a surveillance society. In this case, yeah, I am. Big time. Surveil me all you want. I rarely, if ever, hit 80 miles an hour. Traffic and weather together right here, right now, WICC. There was a very fact that's being debated a bit, I think also this week, too. A very controversial homeschooling bill, a vaccination bill, some other stuff at the Capitol. And the Catholic Church of Connecticut also looking over the legislation. And you remember I said a couple of weeks ago when I first started to look at basic versions of this bill, and I took a look at it and I said, geez, this whole equivalent education, or however they're phrasing it in the bill, that sounds a little squishy to me. Like, could they go after parochial schools, private schools, besides, you know, homeschoolers and all that? And other aspects of the bill that just are kind of, and I'm getting people telling me my sources at the Capitol, there's some squishy votes maybe not happening from people who they thought were going to vote yes on this. So let's get the opinion here of a guy who knows the process. Well, Chris Healy joins us. We've had him on before. He is the executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council. Hey, Chris, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great to be with you, Paul.
So, Chris, tell us about what your organization thinks about, in general, what's going on at the Capitol now. Let's talk about the homeschooling bill. Any worries here that this could have intended or maybe unintended consequences when it comes to private schools or Catholic-schooled students?
Well, thanks for having me on. I think the first precursor is always when the proponents tell you that it's no big deal and there's nothing to worry about. It's when obviously you start to, break out the K rations and dig in. What's going on here is, particularly with homeschoolers, is that unfortunately the public school teachers unions and other interest groups are using two very tragic events that happened this year, as you know, one in Waterbury and one in New Britain involving a young child who two young children who ended up not coming to school and were prisoners and beaten and murdered by their parents as an excuse for under these bills, compelling parents to come into a public school office and declare whether their children are being homeschooled or educated privately and taking down their name, address, and whatever. Now, those things are done sort of remotely, and they're just numbers are used, not names.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second year they come after the homeschoolers, and the first year that they've implied that what you called equivalent education
mm-hmm.
sort of being applied to private or non-public schools, which include Catholic schools. Now, certainly, we in the Catholic school world do amazing work. Most of the kids that do get Catholic education now are kids that are 180 to 200% of poverty level. Many of them are on scholarships. Many are there because parents sacrifice greatly to make that expenditure, and the results are superior to public school education mm-hmm. in terms of achievement and moving on to college and to successful lives. And we're not asking for anything other than to just be left alone to do our educating. When you start throwing terms around like you must require an equivalent education, in other words, comparing what a public school bureaucracy apparatchiks decide is equivalent,
mm-hmm.
Often these equivalencies are standards set by politicians in cahoots with the public sector unions of what's good. And I think the proof is, as you probably have many guests on, that our math and our science and our English scores are way below average. Mm-hmm. They're way below. They're failing miserably in the inner cities down in Bridgeport and other places. They're horrible. Kids are not getting good public education for a lot of reasons. But certainly you can blame the public school bureaucracy and the monopolistic forces that are run out of Hartford as a reason. So now they turn around and say, well, we need to stick our nose in homeschoolers, or we need to make sure that those private and non-public schools are sort of doing what we're doing or should be doing. And so this is the disturbing part of it. That, you know, when they're crossing over into an area where they are trying to exert, again, control. They're trying to exert control. And I think that's the issue here, and that's what all of the interest has been. There's been many parents at the state capitol in Hartford taking time out of their day to bring their children to the various committees to explain that. And, you know, for us in the Catholic school world, you know, we're excited to show people what we can do with children who get a Catholic education. Many of the kids that come to Catholic schools are not Catholic. Mm-hmm. They're not Catholic in their teachings, but they are welcome. And they get a robust education and faith formation lessons in good citizenship and godliness, as the saying goes, as much as you can do it, in a structure that is proven to work over time. But it's somewhat disconcerting to hear the people that are not particularly, I think, knocking the ball out of the park in the public education system, now trying to create these sort of bizarre parallel requirements about equivalency education. And the bottom line is, yeah, Paul, they still haven't defined what that
well,
is.
Well, I was going to, Chris, I was,
that's the problem, because the more you play yes. around with these words, the more you create doubt and a lack of credibility.
That was, and Chris, that was going to be my next question. You read my mind. Now, in all the contacts you've had there and all this public testimony and all these committee hearings, has anyone come even close to saying, Chris Healy, we're going to leave Catholic schools and their choices for curriculum alone? Has anybody said that?
Well, they've implied that. They imply that there's nothing to worry about here, that they have the best interest of students and parents and teachers in mind. And you know, I have to give them that. I have to believe them. That's what they want to do. But unfortunately, their history of accomplishments and trying to provide and hold an accountable education system together that provides a rigorous learning environment for our young people in the state on the public school level has been wanting. Now, it's not all the fault of teachers.
Sure.
I was on the school board here in Weathersfield for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I understand the curriculum mess that we have. A lot of these curriculum requirements that you see at the school level are all handed down by Hartford mm-hmm. politicians. So we have a lot of courses and things that don't matter or could matter maybe later on in life when you have sort of grasped the concepts of math and English and true critical thinking.
Sure.
But we're not doing that. And I think it's not me saying it, because it's the proof is in the scores. The proof is in the high absentee rates we're having here in our public schools. A lot of kids are not coming back to these schools. I'm sure you've had people on that show that mm-hmm. school population is down across the states because parents have had enough. And if they can't afford a private education or a Catholic school education, they revert to homeschooling, or they set up these, you know, learning, as they call them, learning sessions, pods with other parents.
Yeah.
And they go all along on that trajectory, which is an incredible sacrifice if you're a parent who may have, you know, obligations to provide the family, and they may have to give up their work, make accommodations. So that's where we sort of are.
Okay.
You know, our argument has been that the state, the Governor Lamont, should stop messing around and agree to the federal Big Beautiful Bill, which allows people to make contributions to tax-exempt organizations that can provide scholarships to people that want to attend non-public schools. Yeah. All the governor has to do is send a letter to the IRS and make that happen, and then people can donate money to a fund that then turns around and can make mm-hmm. scholarships available to a kid, a child can attend a Catholic school or another sort of non-public school that the tuition is required. And that will create a sense of competition and accountability and true choice for people who want to educate their children.
Yeah.
Right now, we don't have those choices. We have a monopoly that is hereby a constitutional requirement to educate children, and they're not doing their job. Or the job is, oh, let's put it this way, the job's not getting done.
Okay.
For a lot of reasons.
We have about 1 minute left. So I'm going to ask you to look into the Healy crystal ball here, Chris, for about a minute. Mm. What do you think ultimately
happened? I'm polishing as you said.
Give me about a minute here. What do you think happens here? It doesn't pass. It passes as it is. It gets watered down. There are assurances that make your group happy. What do you think?
I think the forces of the teachers union is so strong in the state that they are going to try to find some hook into homeschoolers to either interfere in that or to create another form of observation or compliance. I think they're going to try to do something, and they may get away with it. It's unfortunate. I'm borderline unconstitutional probably, but I think they're making a huge mistake because there's a huge number of people around the state, and it's of all, income levels and races of people that believe in homeschooling and believe that parents should have these rights and these choices with their children. And the state should not be the only person to decide the educational opportunities for kids.
All right. Chris, thank you. The executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council, Chris Healy. Chris, keep me up to date on this. All right, sir. I thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate it.
Bye-bye. All right. Chris Healy there. Talking about a lot of stuff today, speed cameras. And also we are talking about the controversial, somewhat homeschooling bill at the state capitol. Watching that for us, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist. And we found out today a favorite of one of my regular callers here. Dan Haar is with us. Dan, how are you today?
Great. I just watched the whole debate from the committee, and so I've seen every speech.
Yes.
One of your favorite what?
I will send you the audio. He's one of my regular callers. He had a few comments regarding your leaf blower piece, but I'll send you that.
Oh, he didn't like it or he did like it?
He wasn't a fan. I'll just
say that. Well, conservatives should like that because we want to keep the pristine environment.
That's right. All right. I'll send it to you. I think you'll get a chuckle out of it. I think you will.
Okay.
The education bill. What do we have? Did I understand it kind of made it out of committee here?
Oh, no, it made it out of committee with sort of flying colors. I counted, I think, two, maybe three Democrats who voted against.
Okay.
The bill. One of them was Antonio Felipe from Bridgeport.
Oh.
And the other was Renee McGee from
West Haven. Yeah.
And there is a little bit of a racial aspect to it. Both of them were concerned about, people in the black and brown communities who are homeschooling. So it wasn't strictly along party lines. I'm not aware of any Republicans. I haven't actually seen the list. I listened to the roll call, but I don't recall any Republicans voting for it. I don't think any did. But the long and the short of it is that this is really two completely different things at once.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is my hot take way of seeing it ahead of a column that I'll write, which is that it's one thing to require people who are taking their kids out of school for homeschooling to register with the state.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is one thing that a lot of people believe is onerous and unfair and targeting us and all that stuff. But it is significantly defensible from a policy standpoint, because you at least want to know where kids are, right? But what they did really under the strong arm of the House chair, Jennifer Leeper from Fairfield, was they broadened this to be really you have to tell the state what you're doing with your homeschool.
Yeah.
Right. You either have to be part of some national program or these are the curriculum. You have to tell them something. And the intent of this is not to do a curriculum check that has to be approved for homeschooling, which is how it was perceived. The intent of it is to make sure that the people doing homeschooling are actually doing homeschooling. And as Representative Leeper pointed out, a lot of red states do this too.
Yeah.
But it didn't fall that way on ears that were receptive, to say the least.
So, Dan, do you think in the end, now in an election year, and I'm constantly amazed they brought this up in an election year rather than wait a few months and then you have the whole of 2027, does this actually eventually get a full vote in both chambers or not? What do you think?
So this year, I think for the reason you say, and also, the Republicans are going to have no reason not to talk this to death, because this is not a symbolic bill. This is a bill that actually is going to affect a lot of any representative's constituents. And I consider it what one lobbyist who's a gen tends to be a Democratic liberal lobbyist said to me was, this was an unforced error.
Yeah.
There was no reason to throw in the curriculum stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you want to respond to the three tragedies that related to DCF, to people using the ruse of homeschooling, and everybody is clear that these were not homeschooled kids who were abused. These were people using the ruse of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go after that loophole and say kids have to be registered, do that. But don't add the curriculum stuff. And that's where the mistake was made. And the House Democrats pushed something that notably, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm on the Senate side.
Interesting.
So, we don't, it's a little internecine and inside baseball to talk about how the Senate and the House Democrats fight amongst each other. But this was a little bit of that.
Interesting. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media. Highway speed cameras, Dan. I don't know about you, but I have spent the first 2 hours today saying, bring them on. I'm done with people tailgating me, and I'm doing almost 80 miles an hour. Bring them on.
Oh, you're probably doing 54 when you think you're doing
80. No. You don't know how many times, Dan Har, I've heard, good afternoon, sir. Do you know why I stopped?
Yeah. I got pulled over in Baltimore for speeding and swerving.
Yeah. Oh,
and I was
swerving.
Checking out the city from the inner. I was apparently swerving. And then he was going to get me for not pulling over in time, but I don't know if you know 95 through the heart of Baltimore.
Yes,
it's really hard to pull over.
Yeah.
So it took me like 2 miles to pull over, and he was upset about that.
He wasn't happy.
But I ended up only getting a warning. The long and the short of it is that what surprises me is that this passed unanimously.
Yeah.
And obviously that includes a lot of Republicans.
Yeah.
Even though it had no public hearing, they kind of heaved it in. And what the chair told me today, Senator Cohen, was, well, it didn't have a public hearing as a bill, but there was an informational hearing on the high degree, the study that showed that speeding really does take a lot of lives. And I respect that. And
sure.
So, listen, if it's the will of anything that's unanimous out of committee, you know, there were Republicans on that committee that could have opposed it and didn't.
Yeah. Before we get to the Lamont campaign, because you bring up an interesting point, a lot of people, Dan, and you've reported on this as well as anybody else, there's still a lot of teeth grinding about this Aquarian water deal.
The Aquarian water deal is about as... I've now written three columns that say there's a last-ditch effort to kill it, and I think I have to run a correction. The first of the last-ditch efforts was apparently not a last-ditch effort. But it's all about passing this bill, and the bill would do two things. I know we're going to run out of time here, but just quickly, the bill would require that instead of being 6-5 on the board for the RWA, Regional Water Authority, it would be 6-5 for the Aquarian towns.
Mm-hmm.
And while that seems to make sense because Aquarian is 2.5 times bigger than RWA, Wall Street won't buy it. Because an entity, whether it's a profit or a for-profit company or an authority, a public authority, an entity can't buy something and then borrow a bunch of money, billions of dollars from Wall Street, while it's outnumbered on the board by the entity it's
of
buying.
Of course,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? So that was one thing. And then the other thing is that they want Pura to now oversee the rates, which is like, okay, well, Pura can oversee the rates. That's not really going to stop the merger.
Yeah.
But can somebody tell Pura how to do that? Because Pura regulates rates by regulating, essentially by regulating profits. And when an entity is a public authority that has no profits, PURA doesn't have a lever to regulate rates with. Now, that's not to say they can't do it. They're smart people. But that's a whole other thing. You can't just heave it in a bill, you know, at the last minute. Oh, let's pass this.
That's three more that's three more columns for you at least, though. Look at it that way, right?
I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm going to retire undefeated with Aquarion. I'm done. But we do have another column coming which says this. And also, by the way, final approval is going to come from PURA next Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
And the House doesn't meet until next Wednesday, let alone the Senate.
Yikes.
So this bill ain't passing before the approval.
Wow. And finally, you point out something interesting. Governor Ned Lamont going kind of back to the future here. What's up with that?
Well, as we recall, who are old, or not even old, but who were here 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In 06, the governor campaigned on anti-war. That was the war in Iraq, of course, and Afghanistan, but really the war in Iraq that he campaigned against and famously beat Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
And he issued another press release this week that essentially said, hey, remember, people, I was against that war, and I'm against this war.
Okay.
I'm a consistent anti-war guy. Now, whether this is this pressure from the left, is it pressure from the true MAGA right? Like, I give up on figuring out who's pro-war and who's anti-war in terms of factions.
All right. Well, we'll see if that could be, because that's my immediate. I'm like, is this maybe Kyle, you know, maybe he sees the poll numbers shifting a little bit between him and Josh Elliott. Who knows? Anyway, Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and columnist. A busy day, Dan. As always, we thank you, and we shall be in touch. Thank you, sir.
The Capitol strikes back.
That's right. Thanks, Dan Haar. There you go. What is going on with the Iran war? The NATO countries not exactly jumping to help us, the White House trying to frame that as best they can. Let's go to one of our go-to folks in D.C. CBS reporter Linda Kenyon joins us before the news. At the top, hey, Linda, no fire alarms today, so you and I can talk. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, everything is fine here. Yes, you're not standing out in the parking lot waiting for the all clear.
No, but Linda, boy, there's just every day there's something different here, and the president saying different things as far as NATO is concerned yesterday and pointing fingers. So where do we stand generally on everything today?
Well, the president was quite upset with NATO members yesterday while the prime minister of Ireland was visiting. In the Oval Office, the president said that, NATO members have not agreed to help patrol or reopen the Strait of Hormuz during the war against Iran, and he was very sore at them. But then he said, well, we don't need them anyway, and we don't need their help if they want to come in after the war, because that's not when we needed them. But then again, we never needed them. We don't need them now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this morning, he made a statement on social media saying, I wonder what would happen if we finished off what's left of the Iranian terror state and let countries that use it, we don't, be responsible for the so-called strait. That would have been would get some of our non-responsive allies in gear and fast.
Mm.
In other words, they want to use the strait, but they don't want to do anything to help the U.S. Reopen it. The president posted that statement twice, by the way, the second time because he misspelled the word strait.
Okay.
You can hear this overhead here.
Yeah.
The president is just coming back from Dover Air Force Base right now. He's about to land on the South Lawn of the White House. So he was at the dignified transfer of remains for a lot of for the latest American service people who were killed as part of Operation Epic Fury.
All right, Linda. So we know you probably got to scramble for that. And when he arrives, thanks so much. Linda Kenyon, CBS News. Linda, take care and be well.
Thank you.
All right, Linda Kenyon there. We were able to talk to her today. No firearm in the parking lot. So that fire alarm, rather. We were out there oogling the Milford Fire Department equipment a little while ago. So thanks once again to Linda Kenyon there, CBS News.